look up in the sky. Is it a bird? No. Is it a plane? No. Of course not. Doesn't even look like a bird or a plane. It's a bowl of cereal. What's it doing up there? It's your Polaris, my friend. It's your guiding light. Follow the cereal. And at the end of the journey, you'll meet a stranger named yourself. Hello, and welcome to The Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. My name is Justin McElroy, and I am a cereal enthusiast.
And my name is Dan Goubert, and I am a cereal shock jock. Although I hope nothing about this program will be shocking, nor am I much of an athlete, but, you know.
Just all around, you and I are going real wild with metaphors. Just having a lot of fun with these metaphors. This is a meditative podcast about cereal, which you intuited from me saying those exact words not 2 minutes ago. We're going to talk about some cereal news. We're going to review some cereals, a lot of cereals. Look at that. And we'll also have some fun, you know, cut loose a little bit. Let our hair down.
The business end of this cereal podcast. It's no fun at all.
Yeah, we had to trudge through all these ones and zeros. Actually, Dan, this first story could not be more personally exciting. I'm just thoroughly delighted by this news.
Yes, gamers rejoice. There is a Sonic the Hedgehog cereal is dropping this March to commemorate the release of Sonic the Hedgehog 2, which is in theaters in April. And
the shape that they have settled on to represent this hedgehog.
Well, let's get the shape of the cereal out of the way first, because
the cereal is good.
It made me really happy that they are making a golden ring cereal for Sonic the Hedgehog. And, you know, I was doing some research into the history of Sonic in the breakfast aisle, and he's had a lot of weird tangential appearances on cereal. Like, he appeared on Honey Nut Cheerios boxes back in the day and was in, like, commercials for it, too. He got a Funko's cereal, which I don't really count as a real cereal.
Those are not real cereals. No, mm-hmm. They're professional items.
And then there was, like, a Golden Rings promo cereal, but I think that was, like, a journalists-only type deal. And so this Sonic the Hedgehog cereal is the Blue Blur's first inaugural appearance in mainstream breakfast aisles. And, you know, I tend to sour on licensed cereals a lot because they are, you know, pretty low effort. And, you know, this one doesn't look like it's blowing anybody away, but the Golden Rings as an accurate touch to the Sonic the Hedgehog series feels like a great start. And then we've got their honey-flavored rings specifically, which, you know, wouldn't say it's a Sonic-relevant flavor, if there is such a thing as a Sonic-relevant flavor. And then
chili dog? I mean, that would be chili dogs.
You know more about Sonic than I do. I was just thinking of, like, the popsicles.
I wrote a Sonic comic book story as part of an anniversary collection. I and my family, we are among the architects of the Sonic universe. And when you do that, you have to get deep into the lore. And he loves chili dogs. That's what's up, Dan.
Huge miss then by making this a honey flavored cereal. But those rings are joined by two Marbits. We've got green Chaos Emeralds and probably the most dubious part of this whole cereal, which is the blue marshmallows, which, you know, I got an email from General Mills PR talking about this cereal, and you could tell that the person sending it wasn't exactly, you know, a Sonic architect like yourself, and they described the blue ones as representing Sonic swirling around. And that's not what it looks like to me. It looks more like just a spiky shape.
Yep. And there it is.
I guess a swirling Sonic can take on many infinitesimal shapes during his swirlification process. So I can't entirely discount it, but Marva geometry aside, I think this is a step, a red sneakered step in the right direction for movie serials, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. The Marbit shapes are wild. I mean, I don't know how I would I'd probably just do his head, right? Like, they've done the whole body in Marshmallow, and that just seems, I don't know. Magic Spoon is that's like one of the, keto low-carb cereals? Is that the deal?
Yeah, it's meant to be sort of a better-for-you adult cereal. You've probably seen Magic Spoon all over, YouTube and stuff now, because they've been doing a lot of, video sponsorships. And they came out with a new flavor pack that I think is really up this show's alley. It is a combo of Magic Spoon oatmeal cookie cereal and a Magic Spoon Honey Graham cereal. Both of these are new to their cereal lineup, which also includes, lots of other flavors like peanut butter, cookies and cream, maple waffle, stuff like that. But given that on this show, two of the flavors that we champion the most are oats and Graham. So
sure, yeah.
We love to take credit for things that are even somewhat adjacent to what we talk about on this show. So I'm going to pretend that there's someone at Magic Spoon who really did their diligence and collected data points on what we talk about the most and landed this double pack, which is, it's pretty good. I mean, I haven't tried it actually. It just looks pretty good.
It looks pretty good. I like Magic Spoon cereals a lot, actually. I think that they've got a really, especially considering the sort of ingredient restraints, They've got a really good texture to them that I really, really enjoy. Have you ever tried those, Magic Spoon?
I tried the original 4-pack when it first came out a while back, and I did agree. There was some good ones in there.
They've improved the recipe, I think, even since then, although I don't know if that's 100% accurate or not. Let's see. What else we got? Tell me about this triumphant return here, Dan.
So this is probably the most exciting and understated serial return that's happened in recent years. There's been no professional fanfare about it, but I think it is much deserved. Spotted on shelves once again is Maltomeal French Toasters. And without even saying anything else, if anybody listening to this show sees this cereal in stores, you need to buy it immediately. This is one of the rare immaculate 10 out of 10 products that I've reviewed in my time. It's Maltomeal's take on French Toast Crunch, but it's not their take on the bread-shaped version of French Toast Crunch. This is their edition of the square version of French Toast Crunch, which was only, available for a limited time, sort of sandwiched in between the original launch of French Toast Crunch and the eventual the reboot of it in American stores. So this was very limited release, but I don't know what it is about this shape that really just lets them layer on the flavors so thickly and richly. Like, obviously, blueberry muffin tops, now known as blueberry muffin toasters as well. And this is right along.
Such a worse name. Blueberry muffin tops is so appealing.
Yeah. And I don't know what else to tell you. This is the most richly mapley, brown sugary, golden goodness type cereal I can think of. It even tops Waffle Crisp in my book, and that is something very, very rare.
Heady praise from Dangbear.
And it comes in giant bags now, so you can have a pillow fight with it.
And then after you've eaten it, you fill it with pillow stuffing, cotton and stuff, and you got a nice little crinkly pillow.
Sweet, sweet crinkly dreams.
Let's move on to reviews, Dan. What on earth are Pebbles shakeups?
So we talked about these on the show not too long ago, but this is a pair of snack mixes from Post and Pebbles where they basically just jumbled up a bunch of different cereal bits into these pouches and are billing it as a snack mix. And I think it's interesting what they did with these. They kind of took creative liberties by calling it a snack mix instead of just a straightforward cereal. It almost seems like it let them bend the rules a little bit. So first off, we have Cocoa Explosion Pebbles Shake-Ups, which admittedly is the much less boring of sorry, which is admittedly the much more boring of the two, because it just combines chocolate honeycomb pieces, chocolate cocoa pebbles, boulders, which are just cocoa puffs, essentially, and then plain white disc marbits as well. And ultimately, this means this pebble shake-up snack mix specifically doesn't really taste all that different from an actual cereal, but where I think they were allowed to go beyond what a cereal can do is in the sheer density of how many marbits they put in this thing. They hosed this down with just marbits, and I've never seen that many in such a small, you know, few cubic inches, like, within an actual cereal. And I will say this didn't have exactly a positive effect on my enjoyment of the snack mix, because it just tastes a lot like plain granulated sugar with, you know, some cocoa powder dusted in. But
delicious.
It's crazy how, I guess, the public has a much higher tolerance for grotesque sugar content in their snack mixes than in something that is somewhat meant to be a breakfast.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I just pour this in a bowl, right? I mean,
you definitely could, yeah.
You definitely could. That's the secret dare of this product, I feel like. The secret unspoken.
The secret dare is to just pour the milk directly into the pouch and see how see how milk tight it is. But
like a walking taco kind of deal.
But I will say the other Pebbles shakeup is magnitudes more interesting. This is the sweet and salty mix, and on the surface it seems like the most arbitrary and random mix of cereal components ever. You've got Waffle Crisp.
These are the things we made too much of.
Yeah. You've got Waffle Crisp, you've got Birthday Cake Pebbles Boulders, and just to note, both of these Pebbles Boulders are actually just localizations of Timbits cereal, which came out in both chocolate and Birthday Cake in Canada. But that aside, the third component is salted pretzel bits, and that is the kind of innovation that a snack mix needs to set it apart from just a cereal, because I wouldn't put milk on this one. I think salt and milk don't play all that well all the time, but for some reason, it just works. I think it's lacking a creaminess element. Ultimately, I would have loved to see these pretzel bits have like a yogurt coating, but the saltiness of them really cuts through the rest of them in a mouth-watering way that I really enjoyed. The Birthday Cake Boulders don't add anything. They're a lot like the Marbits from before, just a lot less intense. But the combination of maple and saltiness is just really, really unique. It reminds me a lot of the Honey Brunches of Oats Chicken and Waffles cereal, where it had that fun sweet and salty contrast. But in this case, you don't have that weird fake meatiness to spoil the aftertaste.
Right.
So I've definitely been dry shoveling these over my sink for the better part of a week, and I think they're worth a try.
Looks good to me. I mean, I'd pour milk on them, Dan. I'm sorry. I think salt is the final frontier. Well, actually, I guess bitter or no, umami. Okay, so to rank the final frontiers of cereal, umami, bitter, salty. Salty's the next horizon I think we could run towards.
What about spicy, though?
See, I like a spicy. Remember when Gabe made that spicy, what was that? Do you remember the spicy one he made in his homebrew cereals?
Oh, man, I can't remember exactly what it was. I remember it had a devilish Rice Krispies elf on it, though.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of. Yes, the spicy Rice Krispies. Oh, so good. Special K brown sugar cinnamon. Good? Tasty? Sounds tasty.
Well, why don't we call it special... Nay, because this is what I like to call a horse cereal. It is, if we're talking mindlessly munchable, this is something you would put in a feed bag and strap on and not think about anything else. It's just, it has only one component, which is these brown sugar cinnamon flakes, and the all aspects of that name, both sugar, cinnamon, and brown, are all very muted and not too poppin'. It's still tasty. It's like, Cinnamon Toast Crunch if it were a LaCroix flavor. It's not bad. It has a very hearty crunch and it's nice, but you can tell that I'm struggling to even remember anything about it because it goes.
It sounds a little.
It goes in one mouth and out. I'm not going to finish that. Yeah, I guess this is a good one if you want to mix it in with something that's a bit more substantial, or you like your cereals a bit on the blander side, but I don't think I'll be buying it again.
Cocoa Marshmallow Pebbles. We both had this one. If you want my, I'm a layman here, so I'll just give my quick review. Predictably good. Like, yeah, that's good. I liked it. I thought it was real good. But not in a way that's like interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, yeah. Like in that sort of like treat yourself kind of way.
Yeah, this is kind of the exact opposite of the Special K brown sugar cinnamon, in that it's just so sweet and intense that it's almost a little bit overwhelming. It's like a cartoon cereal that you'd see, like a literal Calvin and Hobbes chocolate frosted sugar bombs, just to advertise how hyperbolically over-sugared a cereal can be.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that another cereal podcaster, Keith from the Just Pour the Milk podcast, he told me that there's some grand conspiracy going on here where if you try normal Cocoa Pebbles alongside these ones, they apparently changed the recipe of the Cocoa Pebbles to make them substantially worse. So he recommended I buy a box of normal Cocoa Pebbles and try them side by side. And all that did was make me question my credibility as a cereal reviewer, because I could not, for the life of me, really tell the difference.
Did you try like an A-B test?
I did, but it kind of just ended up fudging up my mouth with all kinds of chocolate taste that all blended together. I might need to try again, but I think if you're at the point where you want a Cocoa Pebbles with marshmallows, you probably know Cocoa Pebbles better than I do and will be able to better process that difference. So, you know, more Pebbles-sensitive minds than mine have decried the difference here, so approach with caution.
Some intriguing new Pop-Tarts here.
Yeah, so recently Pop-Tarts dropped a trio of new flavors. I was not able to find the Boston Cream Donut, unfortunately, but I did find the Eggo Waffle and Apple Fritter varieties. And I will say this is a rare instance, for me at least, who is a freak for freezing my Pop-Tarts. This is a rare instance where these flavors performed dramatically better toasted, which is, I think, what is likely intended, than in any other preparation method, but in sort of different ways. The Eggo Waffle, if you don't toast it, is almost too intensely syruped, and it's like pure waffle crisp extract that was mined from the golden ore of the earth, and it's just too much for human tongues to comprehend until you put it in the toaster and let that temper a little bit and let the crust get all crispy and golden and meld a little bit better. Whereas Apple Fritter, if you eat it just plain, it's almost too subtle and tastes like just like a light brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tart. But once you warm it up, that apple really comes alive and you've got something that, you know, it doesn't really have a donutty element to it, but it definitely reminds me of a warm caramelized apple pie. These aren't unbelievably amazing Pop-Tarts in any way, but after the grueling gauntlet of like the banana cream pie Pop-Tarts and the Mr. E Pop-Tarts, this is a much more positive experience. And, you know, you have to be a big fan of maple to like the Eggo Waffle, and you got to really like a more calm Pop-Tart to like the Apple Fritter. But I think there's an audience for both of these.
They sound good. Now, Dan, you are for a cereal blogger, I'd say you are not, surprisingly, not the biggest fan of good old-fashioned cow's milk. What's the story with Almond Breeze Extra Creamy Almond Milk?
Yeah, so I was cursed by fate to be somewhat lactose intolerant, at least, so I've explored my fair share of alternative milks over the years, and obviously we've talked about how we're fans of oat, and I am a fan of oat milk, especially in my coffee and lattes, but when it comes to cereal, I tend to like something that's a bit more of a neutral baseline, so I've always liked almond milk for that. But when I saw that there was a new extra creamy almond milk, I had to give it a shot. And let me tell you, this is becoming a new favorite for me in terms of cereal pairings, because it is indeed much thicker than your average almond milk. And I think people who might be looking to try dairy-free alternatives in their milk but might be turned off by the typically more watery texture of nut milks will really enjoy that. But I think what really stands out about this extra creamy almond milk is that to thicken it up, they used almond oil, and that does come across in the flavor. It reminds me a lot more of the almond extract that you would get from like a Honey Nut Cheerios. So I think this is the perfect pairing for, you know, a Honey Nut Cheerios or an almond Cheerios oat crunch or just any Cheerios, really. This is a milk born to be Cheerio-ed, ironically enough, because it's not an oat milk. But I think this is a great, great innovation in the milk alternative field. I was going to ask, do you still use normal cow's milk in your cereal? No shame in the game, but...
No, you know what? I have been pivoting... Normally, yes. I have been pivoting, though, towards coconut milk lately. I didn't like almond milk, had a flavor that I didn't love, but coconut milk I've really been getting into. It's a really nice complement to cereal.
And you don't feel the coconut interferes with any other cereal flavors?
It's not really much of a coconut flavor. I mean, you can definitely get it that way, but like the one I use does not taste particularly coconutty. Maybe just the faintest piquant of coconut.
See, now there just needs to be a graham milk to complement the oat milk.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Dan, we have a, I was about to say recurring, but I think this is the second time we've done it. We were talking about, previously we talked about great purple cereals from breakfast history. You want to do it again, but this time with teal.
Yeah, so this is totally my own personal bias creeping in, because I'm the one who picks these segments and my favorite color pairings are purple and teal, and I wear it all the time. But I also think they're great colors to spotlight in the cereal aisle because they're a bit more uncommon. Like, we could definitely name all kinds of red cereals or yellow or orange cereals just off the top of our heads, but how many teal cereals can you think of outright? But I managed to curate a good list of them from both recent and ancient cereal history, and we can run through them. And I think we can start with what has to be the most famous teal cereal box, which is OG Rice Krispies Treats cereal.
Yeah, yeah, delicious.
And this is long before Kellogg's sort of ruined the recipe for Rice Krispies Treats a few years back. And, you know, turned them from the marshmallowy clusters that made the cereal what it is into literally just frosted Krispies and marshmallows. And I think even those have been starting to disappear from shelves, a testament to the fact that everybody wants the original recipe back. And I thought it was interesting to look at old boxes and new boxes. And new boxes, by the way, are fittingly purple now. But the moment they changed the recipe from good to bad, they also changed the logo so that it no longer reads treats spelled out with actual Rice Krispies treats. It's almost like they were ashamed of what they had done and didn't feel like they were truly doing the legacy justice. But yeah, you look back at this old teal box and it just looks so good.
It's so appetizing.
If we're calling out one variant of this cereal box in particular, I want to talk about the Nintendo 64 Rice Krispies Treats cereal box. I don't know if you've seen this one. But this...
Not.
If you talk about, like, defining photos from an era, like, you know, Time Magazine will have the biggest photos of the 70s, the biggest photos of so-and-so's presidency. This, I feel like, is a defining cereal box for what cereal is. It just oozes nostalgia and, like, childhood whimsy. You've got Mario from Super Mario 64 leaping out of the cereal box... the cereal bowl, rather, being chased by a Boo as well. And this box came with a contest because there were other N64-themed Kellogg cereal boxes. You had Bowser on Apple Jacks, and you had the Penguins from Super Mario 64 on Frosted Mini Wheats. And this series of boxes came with a contest on the back. And, like, I couldn't even think of a better contest that's been involved with cereal. Like, this is the kind of stuff you don't see anymore. By looking inside the box to see if you were a winner, you had the chance to win, well, lower prizes included a Nintendo 64 phone card or a holographic watch, but better prizes included a subscription to Nintendo Power, which is huge, an actual Nintendo 64 with a copy of Super Mario 64, or there were four grand prizes where you could win a Nintendo 64 block party where a trailer would pull up in front of your house and be filled with Nintendo 64 consoles for you and up to 64 friends to enjoy.
Fantastic.
You can invite two whole like classes from your school, and man, I really want to know someone who won that. And
yeah,
I think this is
if
the
you're
one
listening, reach out, let us know.
This is the one cereal box too that I would love to own someday. I looked it up on eBay and there have been a few that sold for like $150, $200, so that might be a bit tough, but beautiful, beautiful teal cereal box. And I mean, it's almost like the others on this list don't compare. But you know about Triples cereal, right? I feel like you've talked about it before.
Yeah, I loved Triples, actually. That was great. Like, imagine Rice Krispies, except not just rice. I mean, it's the best way I can... That's pretty close, right?
I think so. I don't think I was born when it came out, to be honest.
Classic. Okay.
I don't know if...
Yeah, it's... Puffed... rice and corn and wheat. So like, and the, even, I don't think the rice is actually like puffed grains of rice. I think it's like a reconstituted, the Triples rice is to Rice Krispies as Pringles are to potato chips. Mm. Like, I think it's like a, you know, a reconstituted kind of deal, but yeah, it was good. Yeah. Very good.
That's what I like about having a podcast here where people fall asleep during the show. Like, we can talk about the same cereal like Triples in every single episode and people might not even notice. but yeah, beautiful teal box on that one as well. If we're talking about modern teal cereals, I think my vote has to go to Cap'n Crunch's Orange Cream Pop Crunch, just because you know, teal and purple is my favorite combo, but teal and orange is also a very, very strong color palette, and you know, this cereal especially tasted amazing. One of the few orange cereals in recent memory, and it brought in vanilla into the fold too. And it was a shame that this one was only very limited in its availability and not a lot of people got to try it. I especially was a fan of the box art and the art on the back, because I once interviewed a guy named Ed who did the recent illustrations for Cap'n Crunch cereal boxes, and he was a big fan of the entire Cap'n Crunch Chooniverse, as it were, and he included a lot of nods to old Quaker mascots and Cap'n Crunch characters on the back of the box, including the orange Quangaroo from Quangaroo's cereal, which was another orange cereal from Quaker that came out back in the day. And I think having cereal boxes that are designed by people who love cereal is really what the genre needs, not all this like super manufactured, heartless stuff like the new Rice Krispies Treat cereal, but something made with love and with nods to these faces that we all remember. And the final two teal boxes on this list would be Sprinkle Spangles, I think, is a bit of an obvious choice, even though I never tried that one. It's very popular. I think it might be one of Gabe's favorite cereals. Yeah. And then we have Dinosaurs as well.
The best.
Did you have that one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Please tell me
like,
more.
I'm trying to think of what to compare. I mean, it's hard to compare, but it's just like bigger fruit-shaped pieces that were in dinosaur shapes, and for some reason these dinosaurs worked at a diner. I don't know why they created such a rich fiction for it, you know what I mean? But like, the dinosaurs were serving you up flavor, and you had to just kind of roll with it. I would say the taste is like, God, it's been so long, but you know, not unlike Trix. You know, Trix is a pretty good comparison, if I remember correctly, for dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs.
Like, why? Just make a dinosaur-themed cereal. I don't know why they have to be... I mean, these had wheat flour, corn flour, oat flour, and rice flour. I mean, come on. the best.
It seems like they were making this cereal to, like, pitch a cartoon, maybe, or, like, it was a canceled cartoon, because it seems like there was a great world building that could have gone on here, if only this had been given a little more time. And it's interesting to see, too, if you look up pictures of dinosaur cereal, there were contests on these boxes also to win Nintendo Entertainment System, so you don't see a lot of cereals giving away Switches in today's day and age. I think true. Nintendo needs too to true. Get back into the cereal game after their misstep with Super Mario cereal.
I was racking my brain when you came up with this topic, and I don't think I can... the only one that I could come up with is Fingo's was like a tan box, but one of the flavors had a very large teal logo on it. And I used to love Fingo's when I was a kid. So that would be the only other addition. I think it was the honey flavor of Fingo's, which was, of course, as everyone remembers, the cereal meant to eat with your fingers, or as we call it here, cereal. So not a huge hit, but still some nice teal going on. Well, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. I hope you're relaxed or asleep, if that was your goal. And we're so happy you're here. Dan, who else do we owe gratitude to?
We'd like to thank Chris Zabriskie for our opening theme of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow, Bria Davis for doing our podcast branding, as well as Samuel Rarden for designing our Empty Bowl enamel pin. I'd also like to add, we didn't ask a viewer or listener question for this latest episode.
Oh, yeah.
But now going off of what we just said, I don't know if we'll get any responses to this one, but if you've ever won a contest from cereal, if you've ever won big from eating your breakfast cereal, I want to hear about what you won. So you can go to bowl.rest, and there should be a little button to leave a voice memo. And, you know, you can plug in your microphone or use your phone or whatever sounds best. Just keep it chill. Maybe answer right before bedtime, right after your nighttime cereal. And
that's also, that website is also where you can go to support the show with a monthly pledge. Half of that goes to keep serialously.net going, and half goes to a shelter for people experiencing homelessness here in my area. So we really appreciate any support you can offer. But thank you so much for listening, and be sure to join us again next time for The Empty Bowl. Until then, for Dan Gebert, my name is Justin McElroy, and as always,
don't forget to drink the milk. Just letting me roll with it that time.
I just let you have it.
You are the wind beneath my wings.